I've got some, I just decided to do this morning, so thank you so much, Kim, for rattling these off for me, because I thought it would be all right, Catherine will do it, and I got here and Catherine was playing the drums, and I thought, oh no, she's the only one that can fix an Italian-speaking photocopier. A man who shall remain nameless, but he's right down the back of the hall there. He went and changed the photocopier into an Italian photocopier. How's that if you don't speak Italian? All right, the major scripture for the week, the one that I want you to take home, is Ephesians chapter 3. And I've given you this piece of paper, which is statements about who I am in Christ, because these are all mysteries revealed by the Holy Spirit of God. All right? And the writing's a bit small, but I wanted to get it on the page. You can download, if you just write in something like who I am in Christ on your Google page, it'll just find not only this one, but many, many other lists of who you are in Christ. And I urge you to do that. Have a look at who you are in Christ. Because in this day and age, more than ever before, we need to know who we are in Christ. You want to know something, Greg? That you're a leader in this church, and because you're a leader in this church, it means in Revelations chapter 3, in Revelations chapter 3, that you, 1 through 3 actually, that Christ exhibits his headship over the church through you. And there's an angel there as well, an angel to the church, and you're working with that angel. How's that? Tell yourself that. I'm working with the angels of God, right? What about others? You've been saved, you've been healed, you've been delivered. When the Bible talks about you being delivered, the word for being delivered means that you've been plucked out of a bad place and you've been placed into pleasant places in Christ Jesus. The Bible actually says in Ephesians chapter 3, it says, it's the one I want you to read, it says that you're seated with him in heavenly places at the right hand of the Father in heaven. Think about that for a while. Instead of thinking that you're living in the pits of everyday mundane life. Not true. What you got in your wallet? Well, what's the word of God you got in your heart? The word of God is in your heart. Right? That's what you've got to believe. The word of God that's in you. You've got to speak it to yourself. Good biblical self-talk. It's a great thing. So anyway, here they are. All right. When I'm down in the dumps, I wake up at 3 a.m. and I see all the problems that I've got. And I have to wake up again. It's like being born again. I have to wake up again. Are you like that? You wake up with all your problems, and then you've got to, whoa, hang on a minute here. That's not reality. Because when I get to the day, it's not reality. I allow myself to be tormented through the night hours. No. 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 All right, I'm not going to rehab. No, no, no. Okay, so you guys are very righteous. Yeah, that's amazing. But here's the thing. Instead of allowing all that stuff to invade your mind and your heart and make things blacker than black and heavier than heavier, start meditating on the Word of God. So I wanted to give you these. All right, 90 different phrases. Now, I know that you're not going to be able to say them all, but there'll be things like, I've been made righteous in Christ Jesus. Josh, I've been born again by the Spirit of God. His blood has washed me clean from all sin and unrighteousness. I have a future in him. He's increasing my capacity. This is great talk for 3 o'clock in the morning. Right? When you're talking to yourself like this, everything gets into perspective because you're looking at it from God's point of view. So let's go. All right? I also wanted to give you this because it's got a nice big blank spot on the front. All right? And you can write, first of all, in this nice big blank spot, Ephesians chapter 3. It is your homework this week to read Ephesians chapter 3. If you think reading Ephesians chapter 3 is too much, well, I introduced Jamie to you because she has read Ephesians 3 times in the last couple of weeks. Right? Yeah, are you going to read it again? Yes. Good. All right. Excellent. But first of all, right, so just write down Ephesians chapter 3, and then I want you to write down John chapter 1, because what we're talking about this morning is the Holy Spirit who reveals the mysteries of God. Now, that word mystery there, that word mystery, you don't want to read it as an English word in the 20th century, because that's not what it means. You know, the word mystery today means something that can't be understood, something that's hidden, that can't be understood. But the biblical word is mysterion. Musterion, M-U-S-T-E-R-I-O-N, Musterion. And it means something quite different. It means, Musterion means that it can only be known from revelation by God. Right? And who gives you revelation? God. It's not that he's trying to hide stuff from you. He's not trying to hide anything from you. He wants to reveal his goodness, his greatness. He wants to reveal his word, his Rhema word, his Logos word, his wisdom word, his spoken word. He wants to reveal all of these things to you. That's Musterion. And how does he do it? He does it by the Holy Spirit of God. Now, you know, I could have gone to the obvious scriptures about the Holy Spirit of God doing this, but when I was doing the research, I found that there were too many. There's just too many. So I'm only going to focus on one or two. But you can read passages of Scripture that talk about the Holy Spirit does this, the Holy Spirit does this, the Holy Spirit in Romans, Holy Spirit in Galatians, Holy Spirit, 1 and 2 Corinthians, Colossians, Philippians, Ephesians, Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit. And yet, you know, when I went to church when I was 17, 18, 19, 20, I was in a church where if you said Holy Spirit, they looked sideways at you because they weren't quite sure who he was. They didn't want a spirit or a ghost. Woo! Come some kind of divine Casper working in their lives. What rubbish. What absolute nonsense, man. We need the Holy Spirit. If Paul needed the Holy Spirit to reveal those truths that he wrote about, how much more so do we in this day and age in which we live? So let's go. John chapter 1 is where we're going to start. And I don't have a dog show of getting through everything I've got here, but I'll have a go. All right? All right, the truths of God are biblical mysteries revealed by the Holy Spirit. You could say that we have a password that unlocks access to the wisdom of God. That password is Holy Spirit. What's your password? Holy Spirit. It's a password that unlocks the truths of God. Some people would say they can't be unlocked. That makes them a mystery. But a mysterion can be unlocked, can be made available, can be revealed by the Holy Spirit of God who speaks of the ones who sent him. He's sent by the Father. He's sent by the Son. And he speaks only what is revealed to him to us. Right? You with me? Okay, that's the Holy Spirit of God. Now, here's one example, one really good example of a mysterion, of a revelation and the change that it makes in somebody's life. John chapter 1, verse 35. You there? John chapter 1. Again, the next day, John stood with two of his disciples. And looking at Jesus as he walked by, he called out, "Behold the Lamb of God." You do that down in Love Park, and you probably get arrested. Right? But John, filled with the Holy Spirit, called out, "Behold the Lamb of God." And he's pointing to Jesus. And there are two disciples who hear him say this. And because of what John said, they followed Jesus. And so you can imagine the picture, can't you? They're following Jesus. They're a little way behind. Jesus turns around and he sees them there. He says, "What do you want? What do you seek? What do you want to find?" Right? They said to him, "Rabbi, teacher, where are you staying?" And he said to them, "Well, come and see. Come and see." And they came and they saw where he was staying, and they remained with him that day. It was about 10 o'clock in the morning, the 10th hour. And then one or two who heard John speak followed him, and it was Andrew, and Andrew had a brother called Simon Peter. Simon Peter. The Peter part of the word, of the name, comes later. At this point in time, he's called Simon or Simeon or Shimeon. Shimeon. All right? So he went and he found his brother, Simon, and he said to him, "We found the Messiah. We found the Christ, the one who is anointed by God." I was brought up on a farm, so and this is a farming term. When a sheep gets fly blown, you know what fly blowing is? Flies go and live in the wool, and maggots get born. Right? This is good pre-lunch talk. And what you've got to do is you've got to have a keen eye. You know, you're on your motorbike. You're on a motorbike when you do this. And it's a lot of fun. Have you ridden on a motorbike yet? Oh, it's a lot of fun, I tell you, particularly when you're out in the grass and you're scooting around a little. Whoop, there's a lamb over there, and it's got, you see a shimmer of flies, or it just looks a little bit different. So you've got to go over there and you kind of, because you don't want to chase the thing around a 100-acre paddock, you've got to come up on your motorbike, you fall off the motorbike on top of the sheep or the lamb, all right? And then you've got to trim off the wool that's affected by the flies, the blowflies. Blowflies. You know what blowflies do, don't you? Blech. All right? So you trim it off, get it all off, and there will be a wound underneath. And you rub into that wound. In the Old Testament, that's called krios, anointing the sheep. All right? Isn't that a wonderful word? Horrible picture, but it's a wonderful word. It's called krios. The Holy Spirit of God has been rubbed into you. It heals your wounds. It sets you free. You're made healthy. What a beautiful picture. An ugly but beautiful picture. Krios. That's where we get Christos from, Christ. And he says to Peter, I've found the Messiah, the Christ, the anointed one. And Peter, and when he says found, the word that he went out, you know, to find him, it's an interesting word too, hysterion. Because what it means is that, you know, today we would use our phone. I usually preach with a phone now, right? Like that. And so we'd use this phone that's about to be transplanted into the very core of our being, I reckon. And he didn't have a phone to use to find his brother. Where was his brother? He had to go and find him. The Bible says he had to go and get him. He had to seek him out. Took a little bit of, he was so captured and captivated and convinced. Yeah, there we go. That would be a good three words for Mike Thomas to use. Captured and convinced. And what was the other one? Captivated. Captive. Captivated, convinced. Yeah, that's good. I must remember that. And he was so captured by what he had heard. He was so convinced by what he heard that he went and he found. He sought out. That's what the word means. It wasn't just he's down on 139 Deerfield Road, so he walks over to Deerfield, or we jump in the car and we drive down to Deerfield Road. You know, that's where I live. That's where he'll be. No, he had to look. Where is he? Where is he? Runs over there, not there. Runs over, he hasn't got a car or a motorbike to use. Runs here, runs there. Hasn't even got a push bike to use. All right? He hasn't got a telephone to use. Hasn't got a fax machine. He doesn't have a locator. My son-in-law has a locator, not this one, another one, has a locator on his phone. He can tell where I am at any given moment. I don't know if I like that. He didn't have that. He had none of that. Yes, you can. Yes. Seek it out. Look for it. Find it. You don't want them to know where you are. Where's Mum? Ooh. So anyway, he seeks out, he finds Peter, he finds Shimon actually, and he brings him back to Jesus, and he introduces him to Jesus. Now what does Jesus say to this guy, Simon Peter? Because you see, Shimon had to meet Jesus. I'll tell you why. He's going to be in time, he's going to be transformed by the anointing from the Holy One. 1 John 1 says, 3:20 says, behold, you have an anointing from the Holy One. Did you know that? Write that down on the piece of paper. 1 John 1, 3:20 says, behold, you have an anointing. You have an anointing from the Holy One. So often we're so under the weather and so beaten down and so heavy because of the circumstances of life that we need to talk to ourselves and we need to say, behold, I have an anointing from the Holy One. I have an anointing from... Now, so what happens is Shimeon. Now, let me tell you what Shimeon means. Shimmy. Shimeon means kind of, he's one who listens. He listens, but he only listens. He's a bit flaky and shaky. He's like a reed blowing in the wind. Blowing in the wind. That's what Shimeon means. And because he's met Jesus, what happens? This is what Jesus says. You are Simon, son of Jonah. See, Jonah was a bit double-minded, wasn't he? You, right, listen to this. You shall be called Kephas. What does Kephas mean? Well, it's actually not. It's an Aramaic word. Right? It's in the Hebrew, it's Peter. But in the Aramaic, it's Kephas. Kephas. And what Kephas means, it's not a name. It's not a name. Remember, you've got Shimeon, a little bit shaky, a little bit flaky, that's how he lives. That's the Peter that we're introduced to in the New Testament. Right, he's up and down like the grand old Duke of York. When he's up, and when he's down, he's down. Hard up God. He's the one that tries to walk on water, and maybe some doesn't try to walk on water. But he changes from the flaky person to a person shaped like concrete. Has that happened to you? Have you met Jesus to the degree where you're radically changed from being, say, a fair weather person? You know what I mean when I say that, don't you? A fair weather person. It's great, everything's fine while the sun's shining, but as soon as it starts to rain, oh, what a rotten day. You know, we're up and down, we're up and down. A couple of weeks ago, you might have noticed that I had some friends visit me from Western Australia, Dr. Robin and Pearl Cullen. Now, Dr. Robin Cullen finished the last 10 years of his life as a Bible scholar, but prior to that, he had been all over the world as an engineer, as a research engineer, taught in a number of colleges in North America and over there in Australia. He loved going over bridges because his specialty was foundations. It's kind of hard for me to understand, but I guess you have to have specialists in the building of foundations, the pouring of concrete, the quality of concrete. No, anyway, we crossed a number of bridges in the travels that I did with them. One of them was over the Verrazano Bridge. He's never seen a bridge as big as the Verrazano Bridge before. It's an amazing bridge. And so I got a lecture on the concrete that would have gone down and latched into the rock below. You see, Kephas is now locked into Jesus, the rock. Isn't that wonderful? And it's for each one of us. There are times when we're down and we see ourselves as flaky, like Peter. Peter is a person I can identify with. But eventually, that foundation of standing on Jesus the rock becomes the foundation that the church is built on. Isn't it wonderful? Yes. It's wonderful. Absolutely wonderful. So remember this. I want you to remember this because it illustrates the importance of the presence of the Holy Spirit in our lives. Peter, Kephas, he was with Jesus for the next 3 years. He had the ultimate Bible teacher for the next 3 years. And you would think, well, that's enough. That's all you need. Right? But he needed something else. He's still up and down. He's still inconsistent. I don't know how I would feel if face to face Jesus had to correct me. How would you feel if Jesus is right there in front of you? And now, Phil, I just want to tell you that you're gonna deny me 3 times before the cock crows, right? I go, oh boy, you know. That's so. Here he is. He's the guy that's been changed from Shimeon to Kephas. He's been changed from a weed blowing in the wind to being a strong, foundational, concrete kind of person, full of bravado. And all of us have our failings. The trick is to know what our failings are. We can be full of bravado from time. How many people here would say their failing is to be full of bravado, to be cocky? Right? Anybody here that's kind of cocky? You're brave putting your hand up. Mike, you're cocky? Wow. Yeah. Cocksure. Yeah, that's the word for it. And there are others who believe in safety first. You know, there's even a parable about it that Jesus tells where the safety first kind of person takes the talent and ability that they've been given and they hide it in the ground, they bury it. They don't even put it in a bank to get something back from it. Safety first. How many people here would be safety first? Yeah, a few more people put their hands up. All right? We've got to know these things about ourselves. Right? You can be all of them, by the way. You know. What about those that are timid? There are folks who are timid. There are folks who are timid. When they talk about themselves to themselves, they put themselves down. They're full of self-deprecation. Their talk. I'm worthless. I'm hopeless. I had a guy just come and sit down beside me the other day and say, "Phil, I'm hopeless. I'm worthless." I said, "No, you're not. You've been redeemed by Jesus himself, right? You have had his blood cleanse you from all sin and unrighteousness. Because he went, the Holy Spirit has come and has filled your life. You're now living according to the Holy Spirit of God. He's leading you and guiding you. Since how where do you get the word worthless out of that? But regardless of all of that, we often still do speak to ourselves and we call ourselves worthless, don't we? I've done it. You've done it. I know you've done it. You know, it's a terrible thing, isn't it, when we tell ourselves that we're worthless. Timid, very timid. How many timid people here? Oh, yeah, we're timid. It's like, see, we can be all kinds of people. But remember I said failure. You know, most people in leadership circles will tell you that failure is how you learn. But a timid person sees failure as a curse. You know, it's not a step up, it's a step down. And I'm not going on to some kind of self-motivation speech here. Okay? I'll never be good enough, but I've got an answer for you. I have an answer for all these kinds of different people. Please note that Peter, during the crucifixion, he lost his bravado and he lied to protect himself, just as Jesus had predicted. This is the kind of guy. This is the guy that's been changed from Simeon to concrete. Right? He needed the power of the Holy Spirit. We can know all about ourselves from a human point of view, but we still need the power of the Holy Spirit. The Bible tells us that. Now note, I want you to note also that Jesus had told his disciples. Remember, Peter has been with Jesus for 3 years. He couldn't have had a better teacher. At the end of that 3 years, Jesus comes and he stands in front of the disciples. He breathes his spirit into them and he still says, wait until you've been clothed with power from on high. It's all right to have knowledge and power and knowledge and understanding, but you must have not human power, you must have Holy Spirit power. And Jesus told them to wait until they've been clothed with power from on high. And what's more, he said to them, let's just go through the scriptures. It's not working. All right, let's go through the scriptures here. Write down John 16. John 16 verse 7 says, this is Jesus speaking, he says, nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It's to your advantage that I go away. Because if I don't go away, the helper will not come. Who's the helper? Holy Spirit. He will not come to you. Now, when he has come, he will convict the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. And it goes on. Jesus goes on. Now notice I said to you that the disciples are hiding out for fear of the Jews. And Jesus comes and he stands amongst them in Luke 24. He breathes his spirit into them. But he still said, wait until you've been clothed with power from on high. He said, behold, in verse 24, write this down, Luke 24, verse 49 it is. Luke 24, verse 49. He says, behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but wait in the city of Jerusalem until you are endued, until you are clothed with power from on high. Jesus speaking. He is saying, you've been with me 3 years, I've breathed my spirit into you, but it's not enough. You need more. And so he says, wait to be clothed with power. Now you know from the teachings that I've done here before that that means everybody there understood perfectly what he was talking about. The mantle of Elijah was to be passed to Elisha. And Elijah would move in a double portion of the power that Elijah had. Right? Don't make that all theological. Just see it. All right? Just see it. And so Jesus is saying, you disciples, my followers, are going to have my mantle. Hey, that's something you can say to yourself when you wake up being tortured by the black dog in the early hours of the morning. The English have an expression, the black dog. Do you have it here? The black dog is another name for depression. All right? When you wake up and you're being tortured by the snarling of the black dog, you just say, I've received the power of the Holy Spirit. That which was promised to me, I have received. I speak to you, black dog, get out of here. That's how we used to talk to dogs on the farm, by the way. Particularly when they didn't belong to us. Your dog. Behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but wait in the city of Jerusalem until you are filled with power, clothed with power from on high. So note, I want you to note, I want you to take note of this, that being clothed with power from high, it means receiving the mantle of Christ. It means to receive the anointing of the Holy One, the Kleos. The Kleos. Moving amongst us right now. Josh. He's moving amongst us and he sees that and he starts and he rubs in his anointing. He rubs in his anointing. What a beautiful thing that is, eh? The anointing of God. The Holy Spirit. What did you call him? The other one. The other guy. The forgotten part of the Trinity. Can you see how important he is? It is a travesty that we would ever forget about the Holy Spirit. The third part. The third person, unique, distinct, in perfect harmony with the Father and the Son. Tremendous. You know what? He's come to live in you and I. Can you believe it? The Holy Spirit lives in here. In your heart. Do that. Do it. Do it. The Holy Spirit lives in here. Holy Spirit. And when we talk about the kingdom of God, when Jesus talked about the kingdom of God being within us, he said, time's coming when the Spirit of... I'm going. God's up there in heaven. Father, he's there. I'll be there with him. But Holy Spirit is going to be where? He's going to be in your heart. Unbelievable. But once you've experienced it, it becomes incredibly believable. Is that your experience? This is about where I just start to laugh and cry and fall on the floor. Because it's just so wonderful and beautiful. And I could hardly sleep last night, you know, because I ate too many chocolates yesterday. I would wake up, I'd fall into it, you know, and I'd wake up, seriously. I thought, man, it's like I've got electricity going through me. Too many jolly. I'd like to say God did that, but I've got to admit that it was, what's that C word? What's in coffee? What's in coffee? Caffeine, the other C word, yeah. All right. Oh, anointed ones, can you just please turn to your neighbor and say, you are an anointed one? Can you please do that? Can you please do it? Please do it. And so Peter now begins at last to be a true Kephas, concrete, transformed from a mere listener, trembling like grass in the wind, waving to and fro, blowing in the wind. He's now concrete. He's now concrete. He's now the foundational apostle of the Church of the Living God. Or a foundational gospel of the Church of the Living God. Acts chapter 1, following on from Luke 24. Luke 24, remember, behold, I send the promise of my Father to you, but wait in Jerusalem till you've been clothed with power. And Acts 1, verse 7, hey, write that down. Acts 1, verse 7. And he said to them, it's not for you. You don't need to know about the end times. You don't need to know about blood moons and Shemitah and all the rest of it. You actually don't need to know that, you know. That's what he's saying here. He says, it's not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father has put on his own authority, but you, this is what you meant to know and said, but, that's what but means, right? It means you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be my witnesses. The Bible's pretty clear. So flaky Peter comes out of hiding. Acts chapter 2. Write it down. Acts chapter 2, verse 23. I gave you the piece of paper. Kim printed it out for me, so please use our energy. Acts chapter 2, verse 23. Jesus, therefore, being exalted to the right hand of God, this is Peter. This is flaky Peter. He's hiding because of Jesus. They're in an upper room because of their fear for the people, the Jewish folks that don't understand yet what's happening, and they want to put them to death. And he's hiding, flaky Peter, he's hiding, and he comes out of hiding. He has no fear now, and he stands up in public, and he says in Acts chapter 2, verse 23, he's Jesus, the one that you put to death. Wow, that's a slap in the face. The one that you put to death, Jesus, he actually... helped them get to the right hand of the Father, if you like, when you think of it. Quite ironic, isn't it? Therefore, he's been exalted to the right hand of God, and having received from the Father the gift, the promise of the Holy Spirit, he's poured out this which you now see and hear. And then there's other instances right through to Ephesians, right through to Acts 19, even later, of people of which the disciples say, the same thing that happened to them is happening to us now, because the promise is for those there, for the next generation, and for those that are afar off. Me, you, be filled with the Holy Spirit of God. So, I ask you, we sing the song, and now, how can the weak be made strong? Right? That's a fair question. How can the weak be made strong? How is it that the weak, how is it that the timid, how is it that the cocky, how is it that the safety first can be made strong in the things of God? How is it? How does it happen? How does it go from a song to reality living? Because we sing the song, don't we? How is the weak made strong? Well, right now, this morning, the transformation that occurred to Peter, Cephas, the rock, is available to you. You just quickly have a look over your own life, and you say, you ask yourself, am I timid? Am I down on myself? Do I wake up in the early hours of the morning and put myself down and think that my chicken licking, you know, the world is gonna collapse on my head? Right? Is that what I'm like? Well, here's the answer for you. Be transformed by the same power. Are you wavering between two worlds? There's a kingdom of darkness and a kingdom of light. And people do waver between the two, right? We do it all the time, don't we? Are you like me? One minute you're in the kingdom of darkness, you know, and you waver between the two because and your actions betray you. you know, Paul describes that life as being miserable. He said, oh, what a miserable man I am. The things that I want to do, I don't do. The things that I don't do are the things that I want to do. So he understood. Jesus Christ, he understood. Paul wrote of him, said he's been through every temptation known to man. That's what he says. The Holy Spirit speaks to us. He's the revealer. He is the revealer of the mysteries of God. These mysteries are placed. You hear me? These mysteries are placed into the very core of your being. These mysteries are placed in your heart. How do they get there? How is it? How do they get there? Well, it's part of my self-talk. When we come to the Lord Jesus Christ and He saves us, we are redeemed, we're set free, we are delivered, we're taken out of that terrible river of darkness that's destroying us, and we're placed into the kingdom of light. We're placed into a good place. Then, if we ask Him, we're filled with the Spirit of God. We're filled with the Spirit of God. And as soon as that happens, every word that we read through Ephesians three times already, all right? Every word that we read, the Holy Spirit takes and makes it plain. He reveals the mysterion that is there in the Word. He reveals it to us. But you've got to read the Word for that to happen. It's not just going to, for some special people it does pop out of thin air. But for most people, you read the Word of God, the Holy Spirit will take it, and He will make the mysteries of God plain to you. You know, have you ever done that? Have you ever read the Word of God and something is just boom, and you see it? Never made sense before, but now it does. Because you want to know what's happened. You have the Spirit of God living within you, and the things of the Spirit can only be understood by the Spirit. Cannot be understood by the carnal nature. Cannot be understood by the things. The things of the world are understood by the carnal man, but the things of the Spirit are understood by the man who is filled with the Spirit of God. The Spirit of God. I want you to read Ephesians 3 this week. It is full of what I'm talking about. It is so important. It's a whole chapter about the mysteries of God being made plain. The manifold wisdom of God. 3:10 says that the manifold wisdom of God is made. His intent was that in the church, through the church, that the manifold, multifaceted wisdom of God would be made known to principalities and powers. Wow.
Wow. That's his intent. That's what he's called you for. Wow. He says it. That's my intent. How is it? All scripture is given by inspiration of God, and it's profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. That's 2 Timothy, isn't it? 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16. It's one of the 3:16s. You ever thought of going through the New Testament and learning some of the 3:16s? Because that's one of the 3:16s. It's the Holy Spirit who takes a scripture, a particular scripture, and illuminates it for application in your life, in your daily walk with the Lord, wherever you might be, whatever circumstances you might be in. And then Jesus speaking on this very point, he says, this is Jesus speaking, and it's found in Matthew 4. He says, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word, every spoken word, every rhema that proceeds out of the mouth of God. That's Jesus speaking. And he also said in John 6:63, the words, the rhema, that I speak to you, they are spirit and what? They are life. They are life. You want life or death? So God gives us words to act upon. And often he'll give a second word. Often he'll use some other person maybe, so that in the mouth of two or three witnesses, his word is confirmed. That's found in Corinthians. Reveals the mysteries of God. He instructs us in our times of need, the good and the bad, the black dog times. We can beat the black dog. I remember once walking into somebody's backyard, and I'm just standing there enjoying the day when all of a sudden this dog comes around the corner and he's heading straight for me. Have you ever had that happen? This is a particularly vicious looking dog. And I've been taught, if a dog attacks you, you face it and you beat it. Right? Yeah, you beat it. When it's attacking you to bite you, when it's attacking you to bring you down, you have to. You turn around and run and you're just going to have a gaping hole in your backside. Right? And need stitches and all that kind of stuff if you survive. Right? And so you got to face the dog. You with me? Say it. Face the dog! Don't be nice to it. It's attacking you. Oh, you pet lovers. I love pets too. Don't get me wrong. I'm talking about this dog was attacking me. And so I'm standing there and I'm ready. Having done all, I'm standing there ready. And this dog's coming. And all of a sudden, it gets into its final leap for my throat. Right? It's up, it's in the air, and it's leaping for my throat. Anybody had this experience? Right? Yeah. Steve, you must have had this experience. You've annoyed so many dogs. So anyway, the thing is up in the air, and it's up in the air, and it's diving for my throat. And all of a sudden, it gets caught by the neck, and it swings right around. Nearly gets a broken neck out of it, thank God. Right? Because there was a leash on it. But I'll tell you something else. That dog pulled the other end of the leash right out of the ground. He just didn't realize it. And so I looked at him and I smiled and I turned around and I walked away. Right? Hey, the devil's on a leash. Right? When he's talking into your head and telling you you're worthless, you're timid, you're not worth anything, you're a mess. What a mess you are. He's on a leash. He's saying that from a distance. You've got to believe that. It's all coming from a distance. All right, with me? Use the picture. While in Alaska, I saw these guys that had caught a halibut, and I am not exaggerating. I know with fish stories, people usually exaggerate, but somebody else caught this, so I'm not exaggerating. All right, but I am telling you, the halibut filled the boat that they were in. It was huge. You know how big a halibut can be, don't you? And if one of those halibuts, you can get it up and into the boat, and you can think it's finished, and all of a sudden it'll flap and it'll break your leg. Right? There's many a farmer who's thought that the animal has been subdued, and all of a sudden it's lashed out and caught them in the hip, broken knee, maybe in the face. You know? This black tooth here, I was in a play fight in high school, and I had the guy, Barry was his name, we're good friends, down on the ground. He was a good friend. He actually was a good friend. He was down on the ground, but he didn't like being down on the ground. And you know, I just saw it coming. I knew he was going to do it. He drew his foot back. He was beaten, but he drew his foot back and he shoved the heel of his, you know, those steel heels that we used to have on our shoes, shoved it right into my face. And that's the result. He was beaten. Now, you know, Satan's beaten. He's a defeated foe. We sang it before. He's a defeated foe. We sang it before, but he can still kick and he can still lash out. And so you need to know how to speak back. And that's what this piece of paper is all about, so that you're equipped. I've handed out pieces of paper like this how many times, Jody, since I've been here? 2 or 3 times. And we need to know that we beat the black dog with good scriptural self, not psychobabble. Not psychobabble. You can do anything. The stars are aligned for you to succeed. All of that kind of stuff. No, it's got to be scriptural self-talk. Bible self-talk. You with me? Bible self-talk. It has to be. This. What's in your head, man? What's in your head? You're transformed. The Bible says that you're transformed by the renewing of your mind. So let the Holy Spirit begin to work using just this simple little tool and see your mind transformed. Transformed by the renewing of your mind. The other thing that I thought about when I was thinking of this, you know, when we're renewed, the English word means, oh, well, we just renewed. We're just the same old thing. We're just renewed, right? You know, it's so much. We're renewed from the inside out. The old is gone. The new has come. We're a completely new spiritual being. We're not anything that's happened in the past. It's memory. It's memory. And we have to treat it as memory. We have to speak to it, understanding that I am redeemed. I am redeemed. I'm filled by the power of God. He has a future for me. He has a hope for me. He's not going to redress the future and throw it at me. He's taken me out of the kingdom of darkness. And the things that belong to the kingdom of darkness, they stay in the kingdom of darkness. I'm in the kingdom of light. I'm a brand new creature, been born again. We have to speak to us. Use this. Use this. Use this. That's another mysterion, by the way. It's another mystery that has been revealed to you. You have been born again. Remember Nicodemus? Nicodemus, a Pharisee, a man of learning. Jesus said to him, don't you know this? Because he said, how is it that you can be born again? Jesus said, don't you understand? Don't you know this? And then went to explain to him what it meant to be born again, to be made a brand new person. Poor Nicodemus was thinking that somehow he had to hold his mother down and tie her down and then crawl back up the birth canal somehow. That's what he was thinking. What a horrible thought that is. No. Born again, that which is natural is born of a natural being. Born of water, right? But the Spirit is born of the Spirit and having the life that the Spirit offers us. Amen? Have I made sense to you this morning? Are you walking a foot off the ground? Okay. Are you? I just need to know that you are. Yeah. All right, let's bow our heads. And oh, Father God, I thank you that indeed this morning that Greg, he governs this church with the help of an angel. Hallelujah. That Father God, upon being born again, you pick these people up and Jesus, you take them and you lay them at the Father's feet. This is what Ephesians 4 and Psalm 86 say of you. Of you. That you've been presented to the Father and he's turned around and he's given you back to the church of the living God. Captivity has been taken captive. We were in captivity to darkness. We were being swept away. But we have been delivered, plucked out. And not just plucked down on the edge, on the shore of that nasty place. But we have been plucked out and we have been put in a new place. Hallelujah. No wonder Paul was so excited in his writings. So excited. Oh God, I'm excited this morning. Because we're able to say together that you've placed us together in this wonderful thing, the church of the living God, so that the manifold wisdom of God may be demonstrated to principalities and powers. My salvation is worth something. The words that you've put into my heart change the world. Thank you, Lord Jesus. And I pray for everybody that is here. Just right now, look, would you please just put your hands out, just like I have, because I want more of the Spirit of God. More of the Spirit of God. And you can say that to God. Just say, God, I want more of your Spirit. I want more of your Spirit, Lord God. I want to be stronger. I want to be better. I want to be able to make known your mysteries, Lord God. I want to hear revelation from the Holy Spirit of God. And Lord, I want to be able to speak that and demonstrate that to my friends and to my relatives and to my workmates, Lord God, that I would be a brand new person born again from the inside out. The old gone and the new come. And I speak that over you now. There are some people right now that need to hear that. The old is gone and the new has come. So do not live according to the old, but live according to the Spirit which brings life. Paul says, it is freedom for which you have been made free. Amen? It is for freedom that you've been made free. I'm going to be up here. Anybody that wants to pray, I've got some anointing oil here. We can do a chrios time. All right? I'll be up here. And is there anything else that you want to say at this time? Thank you for coming out early in the morning to listen to an old man rave on. I appreciate that very much. But God isn't finished with you yet. He's not finished with me. Amen? Amen.